Blog Talk Radio. Your hands. And I want you to release worship out of your spirit. Let the fruit of your lips teach him worship. Teach him tricks. Come on, Nigeria. Come on, put my prayer. I want you to lift a sound. Turn the volume up on
lost for words, the name of the song. Lost for words. And how many of you know that sometimes we could be lost for words? We are going to be preaching our second service at the church tomorrow morning, but that would be our first service as the pastor of the church. And we are excited that the Lord himself by his spirit will draw more and more people every Sunday that we are there. And in the midweek, we will be teaching midweek service, Bible study. Glory to God. So we are praying for us as we pray for you, that the Lord will move by his spirit and that people will come in off the street to be saved. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this new day, this day that we have never seen before, and this day that we surely will never see it. We thank you for giving us life and life more abundantly. O God, thanking you for forgiving us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Lord, we pray that you lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Almighty and everlasting Father, we submit to you today, to your way, and to your will. We ask, O God, that you allow us not to speak anything out of our flesh, but Lord, let everything that we release today come to us from the Spirit, by the Spirit, and for the Spirit. Lord, we ask you to heal as this word go forth. Heal. Start with me first. Heal our hearts. Heal our minds and heal our spirits, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Well, today we are talking about unconditional love. Unconditional love. Hallelujah. And when we looked at this, we did this message way back in 2018. Hallelujah. That would make it 5 years ago. 5 years ago we did this message, and the Lord brought it up last night as we was running through the computers. He caused this message to come alive in my eyes, in my vision. So I said, well, what a better word to release today. There's no better word than to talk about love. And here in, you know, yesterday we was talking from 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2, but here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 to 23, it talks about this unconditional love that John the apostle is releasing to us today. And remember, we talked about from the beginning and yesterday. It means that from the beginning there was love. It was always in God's heart to love his creation. If you look back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that everything that God made, he was well pleased with. Everything that he made, God saw that it was good. In other words, he loved what he made until when it come to the time of Noah, that it grieved God that he had made man, because man had become so wicked. Extremely wicked, and even in this day that we're living, you can see the wickedness of man. When you say man, that means man and woman, the wickedness of man that's in the earth. But here in this text, we're not going to keep you long today, because I got to go to the plant store and try to find a couple plants for the sanctuary, for the altar. So he says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the evil one and violently murdered his brother. We know the story about Cain killing Abel. Remember that story in Genesis chapter 4. Cain killed his brother because his brother gave a better offering to God. You know, even in the building today, we find that Christians still have that same way of thinking, jealousy, full of jealousy. If you do something a little bit better than your brother or a little bit better than your sister, or if God is using you and doing things for you a little bit better than your brother or sister, they will come. They will become jealous. They don't tell you that, but that's the spirit that they developed. That's the spirit of Cain. Do you understand? They developed the spirit of Cain. Hallelujah. I'm writing a sermon on that now. I just started taking stuff, and it's talking about the evil. The top of that sermon is going to be the evil that's within your heart. That's going to be the top of that sermon. But we're not teaching that today. Our glory to God. So it's because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth proceedeth. So whatever's in your heart is going to come out from time to time. We went through some things in the last few months, the last 6 months, 5 months, 6 months, or whatever it is, because, you know, people hear what they want to hear, and then they add to what they hear to discourage other people. And that's what's going on. People will hear you preaching and you preaching what God has given to you, and they would add their 2 cents to it to make it bad. Hallelujah. But here John says, but Cain, who was of the evil one, or of Satan, and violently murdered his brother. And for what reason did he violently murder him? Because his deeds were evil, and the deeds of his brother was righteous. See, when you train your utmost best to please God, folk going to try to displease you. They're going to come against you because they're not happy with God using you. Even though they tell you to your face, oh, I'm happy with God using you. They're not happy. You can still love your brother in spite, or your sister in spite of how they treat you. You can. It's not. They don't have the power to stop you from loving them. You can still love your brother. You can still love your sister. But Cain didn't have that in his heart. His heart was infiltrated by Satan. Satan came in and took over Cain's heart, gave him that mind, that evil mindset to just kill his brother. You know, you have to become real evil, extremely evil, to even think about murdering your brother, poisoning your brother, getting rid of your brother anywhere. You have to be extremely evil. But there's a lot of evil people out there that allow Satan to come in and take control. He says, do not marvel, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed over from death to life because we love the brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates is a murderer, and you know that every murderer does not have eternal life residing in him. Now, some folk wonder how can you say you love people from the center of your heart, but you know you no longer want to be. Well, you can't force yourself. You cannot force your love on anyone. But you can love them from where you are. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can love them from where you are. You don't have to force. You can't force your love on them. You can't make people receive you the way you are. Because people don't see you the way God sees you. They see you the way they want to see you in their flesh. They already have a mindset of who you are and what you are, because that's where their mind are. But you still have to, as a child of God, you still have to love them unconditionally. You hear me say from time to time, I have people that robbed me when I was back in the Washington metropolitan area, Virginia area, out of thousands of dollars. I was in an apostolic church there, and I was the youth pastor. I was the youth pastor. Didn't go there to be the youth pastor. I go there to just be a part of the ministry. But the bishop who ordained me, he saw that there was something about me. So he said, well, and then there was people that were there before me that was there for umpteen years longer than I was in that ministry. And one guy, he was an elder, and he thought that he should have been placed or made the youth pastor. Well, you know, we was doing good when I first got there. In the past, the bishop called me in the office and says, Calendar, because he used to call me Calendar all the time. He never called me David Calendar. He always called me Calendar. He said, Calendar, I've been praying that, and I believe that God wants you to be the youth pastor. And all hell break loose when he say that. I mean, these people start coming against me. I mean, it sure enough was a whole lot of king inside that place. And then the pastor still like, when I'm not here, I want you to preach. Well, that caused more problems in the church. And I said, Pastor, no, I don't really don't want to be the pastor, the youth pastor. I don't want to be in the position when you leave here, you know. So I had to leave the church because it was causing too much rigmarole going on, too much isms and schisms was going on because the pastor was elevating me, you know. Just like last Sunday when I preached in the church, I didn't go over there to be the pastor. But when I finished preaching, the pastor was standing right there, coming from the altar and was talking. And the pastor said, you know, I just want to tell you all I want this apostle to take over the church. I want this apostle to run the church and build the church. I can't build the church. I can only do what God said. God is the one who built the church because he calls the people to he calls the people to him. You have to live, you have to love, and you have to do what thus says the Lord. And he would draw people. He would draw people to him. Hallelujah. I never wanted to be the pastor of a church. I want to travel when I want to travel and go where I want to go. But God said, this is time for you to settle down and do what I want done now. So that's what I got to do. So here in this word, he says, oh, Jesus, this is so sweet. Verse 16. We have come to know love by this, that he laid down his life, talking about Jesus. Jesus laid down his life on behalf of us. And we ought to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers. You ought to be willing to die for your brother if you really love your brother. But folk will love you only when you can do something for them. Only when you could be doing what they expect you or want you to do. But when you get into the realm of doing what thus says the Lord, folk don't love you. It becomes jealous. A snake pit of jealousy. Hallelujah. But whoever has the world's material possessions and observes his brother in need and shuts his heart against him, how does the love of God reside in him? In other words, folk have what you need. They have the bread that you need. They have the water that you need. They have the finances that you need to help you to pay your light bill, your water bill, your gas bill, to pay your car note. But they say, well, if you buy that nice car, why would he buy that nice car? Why would she buy that nice car? And they can't pay the rent. But they don't understand that you would, from time to time, you go through stuff. There's a lot of people that are losing their cars right now in inflation, time of inflation. People are losing their cars. They're losing their homes. I was watching a show yesterday evening on YouTube, and the man was commenting on California. And he says, this ought not to be. But all of these homeless people from one street to the next street, from one avenue to the next avenue, homeless people. I mean, people that had nice jobs, but the rents have quadrupled, and they can't afford to pay their mortgage. They can't afford to pay their rent. They can't afford to get an apartment. As a matter of fact, they were evicted from their apartments because of late payments in this time of inflation. And people are sleeping on the street. I mean, they got everything that they have in a grocery cart. Because they can't carry their furniture with them. They had to leave everything behind. Hallelujah. And people are on the streets. So he says, when you see this, you have to help them. But people are just driving by and say, well, you can't help everybody. But glory to God, there's people that God is going to put in our path. There's people that he's going to put in our path that we just got to help them, regardless of what's going on. Just like the other, I had to send a family in Africa money so they can have food. They said to me, to the apostle, we don't have no food at all. We don't have anything. We don't even have gas. They use a little bottle of gas that we use, that little 15-pound bottle of gas that we use for the grill. That's what heat up their food. That's what cook their food on. Some of them don't have no stove in the house. They have a little fire thing that hooks up a little a little burner top that they hook up the gas thing to. Dog family has supplied them with gas and food. This is what you do. This is what he says. But whosoever has the world's material, if you have the world possessions and observe your brother, if you see your brother in need and shut your heart, you don't give him, you don't help your brother or sister. How does the love of God reside in you? How does you say God lives inside of you? This message has always been foundational for faith. Love. You can't have love and say you have love and you don't have no, you can't say you have faith and don't have no love. Love is the foundation of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you have love, you're going to stretch out. Do whatever you have to do to help. Jesus had love. Love took him to the cross. He loved us so much that he ended up on the cross. Who was the evil one? Cain's story shows we're seeing like these. The works of evil, such as jealousy and murder. You see, when you become jealous, you will find yourself doing things. People poison one another, kill each other, murder each other, burn each other up to death because of jealousy. They say they love God. How the pastor, the bishop, a prophet in Florida, this goes over because he was jealous of his wife was having too much fun. People loved his wife. She was an adulteress. She wasn't sleeping around with other men, but people liked her and people talked to her. And, you know, knowing she's a woman of God, and people talked to her and she smiled, you know, she laughed. But, and he figured there was something going on with her and different people, you know. So he goes to her job and released all of his bullets out of his gun into his wife. Just shot her down. The one that he kissed the mouth may have had sexual relationship with her the night before. Maybe he had sex intercourse with her the night before, but the next day he killed his wife because of jealousy. Hallelujah. It's like poison in the soul. The world hates you. John tells his audience not to be surprised if dislike and persecute them because of the faith. John's audience lives in a culture that often opposed the values of Christianity. Now I want to read that again. And talking about the world hates you. John tells his audience not to be surprised if people dislike and persecute them because of their faith. John's audience lived in a culture that often opposed the values of Christianity. They say what goes around comes around. Well, we're living in that culture. People today, even family members, don't care too much for you because you are professing Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're living a lifestyle that pleases God, that honors God, and folk want you to do this and do that. Look, they just want you to come on down to the cookout, drink some Budweiser, drink some cognac, drink some Labatt. Where they want you to come on down, smoke some marijuana with them, smoke some cocaine, they shoot some heroin. They want you to come on down and do what they're doing because they believe that their lifestyle is the right lifestyle. But you have gotten to a place in your life that you recognize that the lifestyle you had was not the right lifestyle because you recognize where the lifestyle that you were living took you. You were in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Down on the gutter, up on the shelf, you was in and out of all types of troubles because of your lifestyle. But now you find the right lifestyle. God drew you out of the gutter, drew you out of the prison cell, and gave you an assignment to live by. He has given you new commandments to love one another as he has loved us, as he has continued to love us. Even in the grave, he loved us. Even on the cross, he loved us. He could have come down anytime from the cross and save himself and save. But he said, no, I'm going to stay on the cross to save you, show you what love is. Because he could have come down on the cross and save us, save all the whole world. Because he has all power. He is God all by himself. But you know, he says, I'm going to stay on the cross because this is the will of the Father for me to suffer for your sake, for your sins. Pay the debt that you owe that you couldn't pay. Pay that he didn't owe, but he paid it anyway. He stayed on the cross so that humankind, mankind, could have access to the tree of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We miss Evangelist Campbell, but I'll talk to her later. I'll call her later. That's my spiritual daughter. She don't come all the time, but she sent me messages on Messenger. And likes on Messenger. We know that she is busy. And like us, she goes through a lot of stuff. And sometimes she's up and down, but she is there. Always there. Glory to God. I can always come to her that out of the clear blue sky that she going to send me an offering from time to time. I don't have to ask her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Book with which be with you is only for a season. So you can't put your mind down on anyone. You got to always expect because, hallelujah, if you love accolades, hallelujah, that's what you work for. But if you're working in love, doing what God calls you to do, you don't have to worry about it. Listen what he said. Listen, he says verses 14. Let's go back up to verses. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 18. He said, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, don't just love people by words. Show them that you love them. Here, I'm going to put this on the internet, then on the sermon. Didn't plan to, but the Lord just said that. I honestly, from the center of my heart, love Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington. But we have gotten to a place in our walk with the Lord that we can't walk together anymore. But I still love them. I love them, and I will not allow anybody to say anything to about them negative to me. Nobody. I'm not going to cuss with anybody or fight with anybody, but I wouldn't listen to anybody say something negative about Bishop James Washington or Linda Washington. But I love them, and I will always love them until I go to my grave. Until I see them, if the Lord allow us to meet in heaven or in the rapture. But I love them because you can't love somebody today and hate them tomorrow, not if you have the love of Christ. But we just can't be together anymore. That's in a nutshell. That's on the thing. Don't carry that message. But we're on Blog Talk Radio. He says, by this, we know that we are the truth. And will convince our heart before him. This, that if our heart condemns us, that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Dear friends, I'm going to do a part two of this, not tomorrow, Monday. The Lord say the same. He says, because I know I'm not going to finish it. He says, dear friends, if our heart does not condemn us, that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Dear friends, our heart does not condemn us. We have confidence before God. Ever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what is pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Jesus, just as he commanded us, and the one who keeps his commandments resides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he resides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. Now, he tells us very plain here. Listen, let's go up and work this thing and come on down. Jesus. Whew. Because we love the brothers, verse 14, John once again advocates that it can measure if they know Jesus and have truly moved out of the realm of darkness and death into the realm of light and life by whether or not they love other Christians. No, you cannot be walking in salvation, walking in the light of God if you hate your brother. because you are not with somebody, not eating at the same table as somebody, as your brother or sister, that don't mean that you hate them. It just means that you can't eat at the same table with them, because every time you come to the table, there's confusion. So why would you want to go to that table and eat with them when you know that the confusion is going to disturb your heart? It's going to make you feel uneasy. You can't go. It's better for you and for your brother or sister in the way that you don't go to the table. Hallelujah. So he says, verse 15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that every murderer does not have eternal life resided in them. So he correlates this with hating your brother as being a murderer in the natural. Hallelujah. Right? Because hate kills. Both people die from hate in the heart. He said, because we love the brother, John once again advocates that if a person can measure if they know Jesus and have truly moved out of the realm of darkness and death into the realm of light and life by whether or not they love other Christians. Verse 15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that every murderer does not have eternal life residing in them. See, if you have this hatred in you, you don't have eternal life in you. You can go to the church building all day long, all night long. Listen to what he says. John applies the example of Cain murdering his biological brother to hatred. Between siblings in the Lord, other believers, hatred comes from the same emotional place as murder, a point that Jesus also made in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 25, and 1 John 3 and 17. We'll read that in a second. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, 21 to 24. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen, John is quoting Jesus here, and listen to what he says. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. You see, it's like saying that some person is worthless. They don't have any value. Therefore, verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, your brother have anything against thee, he said, leave it there. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. See, your gift don't have no value if you have hatred in your heart. Do you hear that, what Jesus is saying? Your gift don't have any value to God if you have hatred in your heart against your brother. Today we've seen that all over the place, in the church, outside the church. In 1 John 3, chapter 3 and 17, where we are, he said, but whosoever has the world materials, possessions, and observe his brother in need, and shuts his heart against him, how does the love of God reside in him? He's saying how, if you have everything, you have the cars, you have nice cars, house, you have money in the bank. Oh, you're doing well, but you see your brother in need, but you just pass by. Just like the priest and the Levite, when the man saw the man on the side of the street, we mentioned in the sermon a couple of days ago, when they saw the man on the side of the street that was wounded, they crossed over to the other side. These are people of God. Hallelujah. These are leaders. And to see the man on the side of the street, they have an excuse not to help. Hallelujah. When you see people come together and they come together to worship, but all they do is complain and fight and talk with other people, even in the midst of worshiping and praising God, something you got to watch yourself. Don't take on that spirit. He said they do not have eternal life. If you have stuff in your heart, and if you have the word possession, how does the love of God reside in you? You have the word possession and have everything that you can help other people, but you don't help. How does the love of God? He says, the act of murder shows a complete rejection of the living God's authority over life. A person cannot be hit filled with while being an authentic relationship with Jesus, the authenticator of eternal life. Do you hear what he says? A person cannot be hit filled while being in authentic relationship with Jesus, the authenticator of eternal life. In other words, Jesus, you cannot have me feel, you cannot have hatred in your heart and still believe that you are going to receive eternal life from Jesus. You cannot. He talks about your offer, your sacrifice, the ultimate act of self-sacrifice, which every believer in Jesus should be willing to make. John sees this act as being practiced primarily in everyday acts of compassion. John calls for practical love, meeting the needs of those within the Christian family, and by extension, all people. John may have specifically had other churches in need in mind, like the church of Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2 and 9. John speaks to them. But verse 18 says, little children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but indeed in an action, let your action speak for itself. Love those that are within the walls and those that are outside the wall. John encourages his audience to demonstrate love by authentic actions. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's a powerful word right there. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 19 says, but by this we know that we are of the truth and will convince our heart before God that if our heart condemns us, verse 20, that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Hallelujah. Convince our heart. He describes a re-centering of the life of the believer on the personhood and values of Jesus. This results in the believer changing their ways to be more like Christ. The world is going to come to stop the believer from following the instructions that God has laid down for us. Everything has, the example has been set for us from Calvary to the cross. You ought to see love, the love of God. You ought to see the love of God, true love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's right there at the cross. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's at the cross. The heart condemns us. The work of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of a believer reveals where sin is present. Both the kind that is obvious and the sin of failing action on God's behalf. when the revealing takes place, a person is prompt to change their habits and can do so by the power of the Holy Spirit working within them. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And the one who keeps his commandments resides in him. And he is he in him. And by this we know, that he resides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. God is greater than our heart. God can overcome whatever stands between people and him and is already aware of the issue, which implies that there is no point of holding anything back. Whatever we ask, we receive in terms of the spiritual need and the provision requires for God's work. A believer will receive what they need. 23 and 24. John, St. John, chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. St. John, chapter 16, he says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He said, even from now, you haven't even asked anything. Ever since, even until now, you haven't asked anything. But if you ask the Father, he'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Believe in the name of the Son, his Son Jesus. Believe in Jesus means acknowledging that the eternal God as Son came in the flesh. This necessitates living by Jesus' values. Hallelujah. Believers desire to remain in relationship with God and stay involved with his work. The Holy Spirit assures dialogue and relationship with a believer, and such is a key to knowing if God is authentically involved in a person's life. John chapter 14 to chapter 16. Hallelujah. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been fathered by God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Hallelujah. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Everyone who does not love God, he's fathered by God. Those whom God has fathered spiritually believe in Christ, enjoy a relationship with him. They have been adopted as God's children. God, as Father, God provides his children with guidance through the Spirit. John's use of this language reflects God's act of making people one with him and restoring the image that God intended for humanity in the beginning. Genesis 1 and 27. God is love. Although love is an essential attribute of God, John is not making an abstract statement about God's character. John's point is that God can be known only through his demonstration of his love, most profoundly seen in sending his Son in the flesh as a sacrifice for humanity. It's all there on the cross. Let's go to another scripture here. John chapter 15. The King James Version. In St. John chapter 15, verse 12 and 17. Yes. Well, let's go to, let's do that. And then we go to chapter 13. St. John 15 and 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And verse 17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Jesus is pressing on this, that we love one another. This is how people are going to know that we belong to Jesus. Chapter 13, St. John 13, and verse 34 and 35. This is Jesus speaking. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." See, love is the key. It's not about talking. Conditional love comes out of the heart. If we have the love of Christ living, dwelling in us, we will not be so amped to pull each other down. Because you want to look better to the people than I look. And I want to look better to the people than you look. That is the whole key. We want to look like we're perfect. And we make our sister look perfect, imperfect. We want to look perfect, and we make our brother look like he imperfect, like he don't have it together. None of us are perfect. Only Jesus is. None of us, not you, not me, not us. None of us are perfect. None of us get it all right. I was telling somebody yesterday, I don't sit down with my family and talk about no preacher. No preacher, you know. My family didn't even know that I was going to be looking after this church for Pastor Vic a while back. Listen, where we should be going. We hit the scripture yesterday, but let's put it back in there. First John chapter 2. Let's put one verse, and then we're going to move on. First John, because we're talking about unconditional love. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is with John. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." See, John is bringing this thing back up. It's causing this word to regurgitate in the hearts and minds of the people. Genesis chapter 4 and 8. Genesis chapter 4 and 8. Talking about unconditional love. Okay, unconditional love. You can't get it unless you're hooked up to Christ. This unconditional love comes from Jesus. You have to look to the cross to see what unconditional love looks like. Unconditional love means that you're willing. You're willing to lay down your life for your brother. You're willing to lay down your life for your sister. Not just talk. Not because I give you $100 or you give me $100. You give me $500, I give you $500. Not because of that. That is just monetary. That comes and goes. $500, $1,000 will be spent in no time. But unconditional love lasts a lifetime. Even in the grave, I still love my family. I still love my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. I got friends that died, I still love them, and they're going to grave. They leave here. I still love them. Listen to what he says. Genesis chapter 4 and 8. "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." You see, Cain at some point loved his brother. Jealousy took over Cain's heart. You see, when we let the spirit of jealousy comes in, The spirit of compassion, the spirit of love goes out the window. You know, somebody can love you, say they love you for forever. Some people can. But as soon as something don't go the way they want it to go, they'll come against you. Everything that was said months on Blog Talk Radio, some people was keeping a record of every word. They were keeping a record of every word that went down on Blog Talk Radio. Word for word. Because they were looking for the slightest moment that somebody on Blog Talk Radio make a mistake. They could bring it back and put it in your regurgitating face because there's no love. There was no love. Listen to what God says. 2 Timothy. Glory to God. Where we are? 2 Timothy chapter 3. We don't hit none of you all. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Listen to what Paul is saying. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses. That's 1 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. The Lord just want that in there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yeah. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you make a decision in your heart that you're going to live for God, you will suffer persecution. I don't want to be in agreement with nobody. I'm in agreement with Christ Jesus. I don't follow nobody. I follow Jesus. My pastor used to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul says the same thing. Follow him as he follow Christ. In other words, if you see the preacher not following God, you don't follow him. Go to John chapter 10. St. John chapter 10. Let's get these scriptures up here, and then we'll get over here. We got a lot of stuff to, we got much word. We can't never run out of word. We got the whole Bible that we come back and on Monday, the Lord say the same. St. John chapter 10. And let's work around these scriptures here. Put this word up here. I got a whole sermon on this, but we're not preaching the sermon today. We're just going to teach from the Bible. Chapter 10, St. John, verse 15 to 18. Verse 15 to 18, Jesus speaking. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is love, unconditional love. And other sheep I have, which are not of the fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hear what Jesus said. Jesus said there's other sheep that belongs to the fold. They're not in the fold yet. They're not part of the body of Christ yet. He says, also I must bring that they shall hear my voice and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. Power to take it up again. This commandment I have, I receive of my Father. This commandment I have I received from my Father. The commandment to love the sheep as the Father loved. That's the commandment. John chapter 15 and verse 7. We're talking about unconditional love. John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Are you abiding in Christ Jesus? Are you asking him anything? Go to John 14. John 14. And it's 16 to 20. Glory to God. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus is leaving. He told them so. But he's not going to leave them comfortless. Jesus is going to give us someone. He gave us someone to keep us while we are apart. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The world cannot appreciate the Holy Spirit. When we speak in tongues, when we pray in tongues, they don't understand because they don't know. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Verse 19 says, yet a little while, and the world saved me no more. He's going to be crucified. And he's going to leave this world. But you see me because I live. Because I live, you shall live also. And that day you shall know, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. See, you have to love Jesus. You have to love him in order to see chapter 15 of John. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Can't do nothing without the Father, without Jesus. You have to stay connected. Glory to God. John 17. John, St. John 17, verse 21 to 26. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in me, in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is unconditional love. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for this word that you have given us, and we pray, O God, that you continue to strengthen us and keep us living holy, righteous before your eyes, that many might see and hear and believe what you have said to us and what you are saying to us. In John chapter 3 and 10, the Apostle John declared, does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother These strong words depict someone living in rebellion to God and his teaching, devoid of any evidence of inner righteousness according to God's inerrant word. That person is a child of the devil. Hard to believe, but true. This negative verse set the stage for his positive message that John then delivered on love. For this is the message you Christians heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The beginning refers to when Jesus told his disciples to love one another. John wrote often about God's nature and his attributes of love. In fact, this message was one of the first they received from Christ, and one of the messages he taught them before his departure. The word love is in the present tense, meaning Christians should manifest love continually throughout their lives. John used scriptures to illustrate what love is not. Love is not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, the devil, and murdered, slaughtered his brother. Here is the classic analogy of one who lacked brotherly love. Cain is referred to as being of the wicked one, a phrase John used earlier when speaking of the devil. Cain's heart and character were filled with hatred against his brother, Abel, and he was motivated by the devil to kill him. The Greek text uses the word slaughter, not murder, in reference to Cain's cold-blooded violence. John then asks a rhetorical question. And why then did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Cain's sinful nature erupted with uncontrollable jealousy and hatred, provoked by the righteousness he saw in Abel. The same is true today, as sinful men hate the righteous and sometimes murder them. The apostle said, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Believers are commanded not to be surprised or amazed when they see unprovoked hatred towards Christians who live righteously. They should expect the ungodly to persecute throughout the world, even today. A Christian true love for his or her brethren in Christ is one indication individual possesses eternal life. We know that we have passed from the death to the life because we love the brethren. The words "have passed" is perfect tense, meaning believers receive everlasting life the moment they receive Christ, and they possess that life through eternity. A Christian love for fellow born again believers provide evidence. It is not the means of salvation. Notice scripture does not say we love some of the brethren. We are to love all the brethren, because who are believers who are truly in fellowship with God will love all Christians. Likewise, the opposite is true. He who does not love his brother abides in death. The absence of such love reveals that someone possessing But someone professing to be a Christian is actually not born again. Thus, he is separated from God and remains spiritually dead. Such concluded a sweeping statement. John concluded with a sweeping statement, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The diabolical nature of hatred is that it can ultimately cause the one who habitually harbors it to commit murder. Thankfully, such people usually do not do so because they fear judgment from the law. However, in God's eyes, they are still guilty. Anyone who fixates on such hatred certainly does not possess God's love or have eternal life. The supreme example of genuine love is Christ voluntarily giving his life. By this, for we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Believers then, as well as today, understand Christ's self-sacrifice and supernatural love for mankind. It was the greatest expression of true love the world has ever seen. Each Christian has a biblical obligation to follow Christ's example. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This mindset was extremely needful in John's day, but it remains important today. 2, especially where Christians are under severe provision and persecution. Christians are to express true love to all people everywhere. However, the admonition in verse 16 applies only to those in the family of God. Scripture here goes beyond the theoretical to illustrate how Christians are obligated to show love to brothers and sisters in need. But whoever has the world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There are no exemptions. Every believer is responsible to aid a Christian in need. Those who have the world's goods should quickly show love by helping to relieve the suffering of other Christians. The word "sees" does not denote the casual glance, but an ongoing observation of need. Seeing the need, other prompts the able Christian to aid his brother out of love, or it shuts up his heart from helping him. The word "shuts" means to erect a deliberate barrier by closing the door to a brother's need, own self-centered hardness of heart. The love John wrote about requires the sacrifice of oneself. Christians have a moral obligation and responsibility to sacrifice for their brethren, whom God loves, when they are in need. If a Christian refuses to help a brother in need, If a Christian refuses to help a brother in need, John asks, how does the love of God abide in him? A person who professes to love God but refuses to help a needy brother when asked to do so is a hypocrite, and his verbal expression of his love must be questioned. With a loving appeal as a spiritual father, the apostle exhorted his readers not to be hypocrites and do show other Christian love. Indeed, and in truth, God's deeds emanating from the genuine love speaks louder than words. Showing love to fellow Christians shows a believer is walking in truth. And by this we know that we love, that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Believers know they are of the truth because their thoughts and good deeds are grounded in divine truth. However, John anticipates one might feel condemned in his or her heart for not showing love to a brother. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. As we finish here, we'll stop the message there. We thank you, O God. We ask, O God, that you bless this word that has gone forth over the ear today. Lord, let the word touch the hearts of men and women all over the world and bring salvation to their homes, to our homes. Bring deliverance, bring restoration, bring healing in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. In the awesome, mighty name of Jesus, bless the airways, the north, the south, the east, and the west, and bless the people everywhere, everywhere that is listening. God bless them, oh God, to activate this word in their hearts. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the matchless name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, that we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today that will make all the difference in somebody's life. Stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking it. Why you got to speak like that when I'm on the radio? God bless. God bless. Have a blessed day.